the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always start this segment off with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry. So, what you got, Steve?
Well, Maxim has a new feature about women. Here, let me turn. There we go. Maxim has a feature about women riders and how they are making impact in the world of motorcycling. Now, we've been saying for a long time on our show that we're very supportive of women riders.
Yep.
And I didn't know this, but back in 2008, it was about a mix of 8% women made up of ridership. And then 2014, I believe, it went up to 24%. So that magic number is about 25%, 20-25% riders are women.
Yep.
And they figure the industry is looking at this going, oh, boy, if we could just get more of those women that are on the back of
yep.
Walt's bike and everybody else's bike
yep.
to ride, this would be great. Well, she's a this is a gal that was a model, and she's an ex-model, and she enjoys riding, and she's doing a whole blurb on it. And then it also has interviews with others. So it's on the latest Maxim.com. You can read it if you want to. And it's very interesting. And so we're very pro women riding motorcycles.
Yes, we are.
And especially, I find women tend to be a little more, although that last week, the woman driving at whatever time of the night. So I can't use that.
Yes.
But predominantly, women are much safer riders than
predominantly,
men.
Yes.
Predominantly.
So another group that we always try to cater to is millennials. We've talked a lot about the fact that we're having a hard time getting millennials.
Right.
Well, it turns out there's more impact to that. It says millennials student loan debt is hurting the motorcycle industry. They come out of college, they're making good money, but they're paying it all on their student loans, and so they don't buy a motorcycle
until
they get older.
Yeah, and it used to be a lot of times back in the day, if you lived in a sunny climate, a lot of times your first vehicle was a motorcycle.
Yes.
The famous picture of Steve Jobs. My brother-in-law, when he was off to college, had a little small bike. And he doesn't ride now, but he did back then.
Yep.
Now, with insurance being what it is and first-time rider, all that, it kind of goes up. But that makes a lot of sense. And then I came across this, is that Husqvarna is releasing a new mid-size entry-level cafe racer-style bike called the Husqvarna Svartpillen 401. Starting price, though, is $6,300. That's above what you pay for a entry-level Royal Enfield. It joins the $6,300 Vitpillen 401 as the brand's just debut 1-2 punch back in the modern motorcycle relevance. Its contender is a Ducati Scrambler, so they're kind of comparing it to a Ducati Scrambler.
That's right around the price of a entry-level Sportster, too. So some people will be drawn away. $6,300
can get you into Sportster?
Oh, yeah. About, well, maybe not 63. I think it's like 69, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. That's like the low-end base model of the Sportster.
It'd be an 883, and it'd be just a standard, but it,
right.
you know. But it, you could get on a, you know, and once again, if they're getting around that area and so on like that, you know, they may, in America, they may go with a Harley. But, you know, then again, it just depends on what style riding
well,
you
want to
do.
Well, and here it is. It's a single-cylinder, four-stroke, 373 cubic-inch engine, six easy gears, built to ride over cobblestones
yep.
and potholes, ideal for beginning riders as well as those who don't need to do much high-speed riding. Now, here's the guess. On freeways or open roads. So it's more of a around-town kind of thing. And if you happen to take it on some trails around, whereas the Sporty, you can take that thing flat out on the highway.
Yeah.
Because it's got the low end to be able to move it along.
My 1200, you know, its sweet spot was about 70.
Right.
It liked that.
Yep.
And once again, I say sweet spot because it was not mounted. So you wanted to hit that vibration perfect. So
exactly.
So stop jarring your teeth. But, yeah, you could get an 883, and you could probably get out on 405 or something. At least you could get out there during the rush hour. but yeah, you're never going to get over 50. So, but you
no,
know.
But the Sportster itself will get up to 100 miles an hour, won't it?
1200 would.
Oh, but not the 883?
883.
You're pushing about 90?
If you're on a flat, you could probably get the 883 close to that.
Okay.
Going downhill, you probably get it.
Okay.
But
if
you're going up a hill, you'd be lucky to make 45.
So. Okay. Well, Harley-Davidson offering 12 lucky people the chance to get paid to ride one of the machines around the USA for 12 weeks. And if you're looking for a summer job that will get you out of the office and let you explore new places, Harley-Davidson has a position for you.
Yep.
The motor company is currently recruiting 8 people to take part in a 12-week tour called Find Your Freedom internship, Harley-Davidson summer intern. So I think you just got to go to the Harley-Davidson website, and you can apply for it there. Yep. So if you know somebody...
And they will give you a motorcycle.
Yes, to
so
do it.
It's like, you know.
Well, it sounds like you get to lease it for a free bike for 12 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So Polaris is once again tapping the government's $1 trillion yearly security budget by offering a number of new modified side-by-sides to meet various governmental needs. Polaris Government and Defense Division is launching an all-new lineup of equipment for Ranger side-by-side vehicles tailored to meet the duties, responsibilities of law enforcement, fire, and rescue personnel. The upfitted Ranger vehicles allow these organizations to perform critical duties in off-road and urban areas where other emergency response vehicles aren't as effective. The equipment is professionally installed in a turnkey vehicle package with full warranty Polaris. I guess, back in the day, people just used pickup trucks and things like this, and now you can use these littler side-by-sides. They show a picture of, it looks like a couple cops. Really, it's a security guards at a college. So they got a picture of the security guys, and they want to, you know, a lot of colleges, they ride around a golf cart. So now this is like it'll go a little faster. It's an upgrade. And now
it'll
go
over much rougher
and it'll
stuff.
Go rougher stuff than let's say a golf cart. So that makes a lot of sense.
Out in the boonies and stuff. So
yeah, and if you're chasing the bad guys and you need to go 45 miles an hour in the dirt, there you go. And then Indian Scout Build Off Contest winners announced: Christian Newman, Buffalo, New York; PJ Garakas of Avon, Ohio; and Alfredo Rores of Las Cruces, New Mexico, and we wish them the best. We'll find out how things go as they move along. And geez, bam, that went too fast, Walt.
Yeah, I know it did. We'll be back in just a moment with more of our show
and a really cool guest. Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you?
you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of the show, also known now as Candid Conversations, because we're switching things up a little bit, folks.
Yeah.
I took a producer's requisite and decided we want two segments of the show for our guests whenever possible.
Yep.
And we got a great guest on tonight. His name is Dave Eady. He is a longtime member of the Seattle Cossacks, going way back to the 70s. And he is a pride and joy of the Northwest and beyond. And so we are so happy to have David on with us tonight. How's it going there, Dave?
Well, you know, looking at the day, the beautiful day like this, it just kind of makes you think of the times that you've been out riding from coast to coast and the friends you've met and just the kind of, you may say, the blessings that you've had during your life, you know?
Yes.
It's a great day here today.
Oh, it's just phenomenal. And you rode your bike over tonight, White, right?
I
Walt?
Did.
Yes.
I'm going to get as much riding as I can because it's supposed to be bad over the weekend. So.
I heard that too. So Dave, for those who do not know, you've been you're a legendary Seattle Cossack, as I mentioned earlier. And I wanted just to kind of cover a little bit of ground tonight, a little bit of the history of the Cossacks, the history of yourself, and a little bit about your museum and all that. So we're going to start out with basically getting acquainted with the Seattle Cossacks, and I'd like you to spend a little bit of time sharing with us their history. So when did the Seattle Cossacks first begin riding as a team?
Well, they was riding and kind of getting together, playing and stuff at the Dolly Rogers Hill Climbs back years ago. And back then they didn't have all these computers for, you know, tallying up the points for all this, so they had some dead time between the heats and stuff. So a couple of the guys, you know, they'd get out there and start climbing around on their bike. They'd throw a fender on the old hill climb bike or something, you know, and they'd start climbing around doing it and doing things. Got to where they was getting as much applause out of that as it was somebody out driving, you know, winning the heat races, you may say.
Right.
Anyhow, 1938 is when it was officially chartered through AMA, chartered official motorcycle stunt and drill team.
Ah.
No.
Matter of fact, it was Andy, and I mean, Ira Ortwing was the number one, and number two was Andy Skeel, and number three was Dick Skeel. And we just had our 80th banquet about two weeks ago, and had a beautiful banquet. We had about 16 or so of the Skeel family was there. Of course, both of the Skeel boys has done, you know, they passed away long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cossacks put them in the Cossack Hall of Fame, which is an honor for us to be in. It's a good thing, you know, the team has started here, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or so. I don't know exactly how long it is, but they've put people in there such as Dick Skeel and Cliff Steering was a heck of a motorcyclist back years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I got a picture of him with me on the American Pickers tape, you know, segment, you may say.
Right.
But yeah, anyhow, that's when it started, 80 years ago here, just a few weeks ago.
Well, I was kind of thinking back in the day, for a lot of people don't realize that, but, you know, that was pre-TV and pre-a lot of things. And so going out and watching things were much, much more popular.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that the whole riding team and the stunt team, the way you stack up and do the pyramids and all that, is very akin to what was going on in the circuses earlier days. And you'd have circus riders doing this on horses, and then all of a sudden you've kind of moved things over to motorcycles. Is there a connection there, do you think?
Well, similar, yeah. A Cossacks now is a Russian name.
Yep.
Oh shoot! Who was it now that they hired the Russians hired the Ukrainians?
Mm-hmm.
Best of my knowledge, to protect the border, and they were expert horsemen. I mean, there'd be a horse running by, and you wouldn't see anybody on it, but he'd be hanging on the other side of the horse, shooting out under his neck. You know.
Right.
The horse's neck, because he's running by. I mean, they were just expert horsemen, and that. Andy Skeel, they had a dress-up party or some kind of party that they had, and Andy Skeel come dressing in as a, looked like a Cossack a clothing.
Right.
And that's where they got to kicking the idea around, you know, the Cossacks, expert horsemen, the Ukrainian, Russian border, you know, and you know, what they can do on horses, you can do as much, if not more, on a motorcycle.
Right.
And you don't have to feed it when you get off of it.
No, you don't. And you don't have to pick up after it either.
Right.
No, that's right. No shovels. Maybe a drip pan, but no shovels.
Yes. Well, how many stunt riding teams were around in the day? I mean, we're talking, you were here in the Puget Sound region, but there must have been other riding groups and stunt riders all over the United States and beyond, weren't there?
Well, now you can get motorcycle drill teams everywhere.
Right.
But stunt teams is another story. As far as we know,
yep,
there's only one other motorcycle stunt and drill team in the United States, and that's a Victor McLaughlin down in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And they were formed in about the same year the Cossacks were. And they used to do a lot of riding with the Mexican Suicide Squadron And I mean, I'm talking about Suicide Squadron too. Sometimes it's crazy, you know. They'd kill somebody out there, but thank God we have never done that. One of the Cossacks did pass away. They didn't see this wire, this cable, you may say, stretched across a road or a path or something he was riding, and boom, broke his neck and killed him.
Oh, wow!
I don't remember what his name was, but that's probably in the. That's probably in the 40s that this happened. It's a long time ago.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. So has the other drill team and stunt guys, have they ever tried to be on America's Got Talent?
No. You know, we were on America's Got Talent one time also.
I know. You were talking to us last time you were on, and you were a little irritated.
Oh, yeah, that Howard Stern, you know. Somebody may like him, but they can't convince me of that.
No, me neither.
It amazed me because I just, you know, did you guys like do a limited thing or something for them? Because, I mean, I can't imagine anybody ever saw you guys do your actual routines would say, no, that's just routine. That's nothing to it. It's not a big deal. Yeah, right. Come try to do it.
Did you do it on the stage? I didn't watch it.
Well, they had a area that was fenced off for us.
Okay.
Inside this big building, stage and stuff up there, you know, where they had the people go up and do their things and everything. Well, we were kind of in the back, as you're standing on the stage, back in the back left corner, and they had us about, I don't know, maybe about a 30 by 30 area fenced off there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the bikes in there, we were, all of a sudden they said, okay, see what show us what you got. So me and old Bill Jameson, he don't go by Fuzzy. Him and I, they wanted elected us to the team did to drive the stunt of two machine pyramid. Now you know we got out there and I tell you what, you could have hit that pyramid. It was so solid you could have probably hit it with a D9 cat and wouldn't even knock it over. We had such a beautiful pyramid, feeling good. I mean, just outstanding. And all of a sudden, we hear the big buzzer going. At the same time, now Sam's over there doing the carousel. He's standing. He's got one foot on his motorcycle and one foot on the floor, and he's going in a circle with that old 45 Harley of his, just putt, just putting along. One foot on the floor, one foot on the motorcycle running board, and one hand on the handlebar. And around they go. Just a beautiful, he's a so outstanding. Just beautiful the way he does that.
Right.
Matter of fact, Sam is the captain of the team now and doing it, you know, as far as I'm concerned, doing a wonderful job.
That's funny. You know, I suspect it has more to do with the demographic, and they really want people that are, like, right on the stage and more performances, and because everything I ever saw on that show was more like showbiz kind of stuff. They don't really get into doing, and you're a very unique act, and the fact that they even had you. Now, was he on TV, Walt? Did you see?
I saw little bits and pieces of it, but it just... I was wondering whether they just didn't do a full, whatever, because they just, like I say, having seen the contacts before, my first thought is anybody says, that's just kind of routine. There's no big deal to that. My first thought is, yeah, well, maybe you might want to try to do it, bud.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's
I loan you my motorcycle. It's been down before, so here, go ahead. Yeah.
That's right. Well, at least.
Anybody in the Cossack that hadn't fell down, they'd be lying to you.
Yep.
Well, you know, we do have our times, you know, of wondering, well, hey, how do we do that, or you know, how come that fell, or how come this come apart, and it happens, you know. But we were out there doing that pyramid, and then Howard Stern blowed his his big axe up there, and. A few minutes later, Howie Mandel done the same thing. Well, the lady there, I can't think of her name right now. Anyhow, she didn't blow her whistle there, and had nothing, you know, her action. And Stern said, somebody asked him, why did you blow the accent so fast on him, you know? He says, oh, it looks like a bunch of old people with a motorcycle addiction.
Oh, man.
And,
yep.
That's where, you know, we hoped he didn't have security around him. But, I mean, we knew he did, so we wished he wouldn't have had.
Well, hang on. We're coming up to our break, and we're going to bring back to the next segment here. And we got a lot more with Dave Eadie and... no more about Howard Stern. We'll just kind of flush him down the toilet of history.
We'll flush him from the bathroom of our heart.
That's right. So hang on. We're coming right back with more of the show and our great guest, Dave Eadie.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
And you could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft. The compression in my engine.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, also known as Candid Conversation. This is where we interview the movers and shakers and pioneers and speed freaks and customizers and rebels within the world of motorcycling. And as we had last segment, we've got Dave Easy.
Dave Eady.
Well, I got my tongue tied around my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying was the problem.
And so, you also got the allergies, too.
I always wanted to come in on that song. I like that. So.
Well, there we go. Well, I'm going to take a little over because Walt wants to ask questions, but he's got this. He gets hay fever, and it hits pretty bad. So, folks, you know that. So hang with us. So I was going to ask you, kind of shifting gears. I saw you on a little show that's pretty well known amongst our audience, and that's called American Pickers. And you were on a couple years ago. Yep. And they came into your museum, and you have a phenomenal little museum in your home, and you've invited me. I'm going to go down there this summer or spring, I think. And so, Dave,
more than welcome.
Thank you. So, David, tell us a little bit about how that all came about. How did they choose you? There was something special that happened, but how did that all come about?
Well, several people have told me in the past that they had sent in, you know, that they should come here, they should come here. Never heard anything from them. So anyhow, there's a guy that lives here, and he's great into racing and stuff, Steve Huff. Steve Huff is just a prince of a guy, you may say, and he's into racing and all that stuff, well-known in the race circuit, and they wanted to come and do some picking at his place. He said, well, I don't have anything. I just got a garage and work on motorcycles and race bikes and race cars. And now he's into boats, I guess. But anyhow, he says, I don't have anything, you know, for you, much for you to go through here. But I got a friend that's got a whole bunch of stuff. And they said, okay. So then they contacted me and got some information from me, and then they sent a scout out to see if you have enough stuff worth them coming and picking over.
Mm-hmm.
So the scout that came out and checked out everything was Mike's brother, Rob. So anyway, Rob came out here. He was a great dude. Sometimes you see him on the show a lot of times picking also.
Mm-hmm.
But, but anyhow, Rob came out and looked over stuff here. Next thing you know, they called on me and said, they don't want to be here such and such a day. I want to film this and that and the other, you know. It's probably started such a, you know, about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning and go until we get done. And I said, well, that's fine with me. So come on, let's jerk off the bridle and beat her with the bitch, you know. We'll take her to the barn.
Yes.
So anyhow, no, they come in here and seen, you know, the motorcycles I've got, you know, an old Wizard motorbikes, you know, back in the 40s. And got four of those old Wizard bikes and had a Vespa and got one, you know, couple of bikes, you know, that are very, very rare. One is a Harley Topper. They made them back in the 60s, but it has the original sidecar. Now, they didn't make many toppers at all, and, you know, they may make 1,000 motorcycles to one sidecar.
Yes.
And I found this, as a fellow told me, we were shooting a bull at John Mosier's funeral. Matter of fact, John Mosier was the captain of the Cossacks for, oh, I think about 40 years, something like that. Long time. Great man. He's an outstanding guy. And anyhow, he went, you know, you ever get to talking and just kind of wander off on another subject, say, where was I going?
Yes. Well, yeah. you were talking about where you, about the Topper motorcycle.
Yeah, the Topper motorcycle. It was at John Moser's funeral, and this fellow we talking, you know, and he said, you know, I bought this Honda trail bike or whatever, 90 or whatever, I don't know what it was, but anyhow. He said it had a sidecar on it. I know it didn't make one for that bike. He got to researching and found out it was a topper sidecar. I said, oh, my Lord. I said, are you going to pay me top dollar for my topper, or I'm going to pay you bottom dollar for your sidecar? I'd known him since he was a kid, though. Mike Honey, he was Don Honey's kid. Don Honey was in the Cossacks probably about 45 years himself, maybe 50, I don't know. But anyhow, one day I was sitting here in the museum, and all of a sudden here coming up the driveway is Mike rolling this, got one side of the sidecar and the other wheel on the ground rolling coming up here. I said, oh my, we're going to have to do some arm wrestling here for this, or, you know, flipping a coin. But anyhow, I says, Mike, what do you want for it? He says, oh, you know, I've known you all my life since I was a kid. And he says, you can just have it. I don't want nothing for it. You just take it. And I said, man, I tell you what, it kind of brings tears to the eyes when somebody, you know, like that.
Oh, yes.
Does something like that for you, you know, that you just, that you know that they love and appreciate you when they do things like that. Somebody don't love and appreciate you, they don't, you know, you don't expect anything from them. I didn't expect anything from Mike, but anyhow, it was great. But anyhow, I don't think they show that on the show. I haven't noticed it on the show, but sometimes they have motorcycle shows and stuff here. I put it in there, and they'll ask me to put it up there. So okay, not a problem. Anyhow, I got 1936 Harley is the first 80 cubic inch Harley they made. And it's the one, matter of fact, that Mike cranks up on the show when he says something about, does that run? Yep. Does that run? Yep. And I said, pick anything in the whole museum here. Everything runs. If it don't run, I'm going to fix it. So anyhow, he picked that. I want to see if that 1936. He got on that 3680 and a couple of kicks. I think he only showed one kick, though, on the film. And he probably about two or three kicks, and it hadn't been cranked up for a year or so. And Steve Huff put a battery charger on it to get some juice into it, you know, because it ain't been run for so long.
Right.
But it fired right up, and he looked at me, and he says, man, I told him, I wasn't Rooster Putin, you was I? But yeah, he couldn't believe the thing run so smooth as it did. And then I got that 1917 Harley-Davidson bicycle that's got the wood rims.
Yes, I remember that.
I got a 19. Yeah, my old bicycle, you know, wood rims. And down in California, the Cossacks was putting on a dual show with the Victor McLaughlin show. And this one Mexican on there, we went over to his house for a barbecue and some tacos, tortillas, or whatever all they had. Well, down, I don't remember now. It's been so long ago. Anyhow, he had a rolling chassis there. Just a frame, front fender, rear fender, front wheel, rear wheel. That's all. And I said, man, I got to have. I want that. The other fellow said, oh, man, don't. I want the front end. I just want the frame, the front end. All I want is the front forks. He got up on offering $500 for just the front forks. This has been probably 20 years ago.
Right.
And I said, no, we can't do that. I said, here. I just slid about $300 or $400 bills over to him and got a check, wrote it out, left it blank, and slid it to him. You be fair to yourself, be fair to me. And he said, you know, he said, one day we might get to ride that. And he slid the check, no, he tore the check up, slid the money back, and he said, you just take that to Seattle and maybe one day I'll get to ride it. And that's one that you'll see on the American pickers that they're getting a little libation, you may say. You can put your favorite beverage in a compartment in the gas tank, and right out of the bottom of the gas tank is a petcock, and you hold a shot glass under there and get your favorite, it's your favorite drink right out of the gas tank, you know. And he says as many years he's been in this, he's never seen anything like that before in his life.
Yeah, that was Dave Eady back in the day. He was known for that, right?
Yeah. Anyhow, no, I sat there looking at that frame one day several years ago, about eight, you know, 10, 15 years. I think I'm going to breathe life into that bike. And I just went on my shelf in the back and started finding parts and pieces that I had, you know, stocked in stockpiling stuff I got, and I made an 80 cubic inch ULH out of it, and it just runs beautiful. I done an Alki one night, and I blew the rear cylinder. I mean, it came completely apart. And I searched all over the place. Even John Bergen didn't have another rear 80 cubic inch cylinder. So I got to digging around in my stuff here, and I said, well, shoot, this will fit. So I put a 74 cylinder in the rear. So it's got a 74 on the rear, 80 on the front, but it don't care. It runs just like a top. And that's the bike that Frank rode in the show, at American Picker Show.
Wow. Yeah, I was looking on YouTube, and it has portions of it, but it didn't have all of that interview. It has the part where they called up your friend, the racer guy, and said, you know, I seen this picture, and they showed it to you, and you said, oh, this is something to do with way back. It had to do with a patch. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, that was a back patch. We still don't know. You know, when you're watching that show, you'll see a kind of a white-haired fellow named Dave Ord.
Yes.
On American Picker Show. Great guy. Anyhow, it was in his shop back in Iowa. And I don't have any. I need to get a hold of Dave and find out where he got that patch at. I don't know how long it, but that's one of the older patches that the Cossacks have had.
Right.
We can tell by the material that's, you know, it's made. You know, it's not as stiff as the ones we have made nowadays. But anyhow, he called Dave up and said, he says, you know the patch you got on your wall there, the Seattle Cossacks? Dave Ward said, yeah. He said, well, I'm standing here in a museum with one of the Cossacks. And he says, tell him what you feel, Dave. And I says, Dave, I tell you what, I would love to get that back home here. You know, that patch back home. And I says, it means a lot to the team to keep, you know, keep everything within the team, and we just love to have it back. He was quiet for a minute there, and then he says, you know, Mike and them is good enough to come out there and see you, and you're good enough to share your stuff with them. I'm just going to send it to you. Just send me your address. And about 2 weeks later, here come a package with that patch in it. And really just outstanding the way that Dave Ord, I mean, you know, I got nothing but good words for that man.
You know, that's the you've traveled a lot in your days, and
oh man,
you've met so many really interesting, great people along the way, haven't you?
Yes, sir, I have. You know, I met Jay Leno, Dan Haggerty, you know, Grizzly Adams, Peter Fonda, Evel Knievel, even Knievel, when he used to come in and visit a fella here in Seattle, and that owned the Harley shop here in Burien, and he'd call me up when he'd come down there in the motorhome, and I'd go sit in the motorhome, shoot the bull with him. And
yep.
I'd take a couple items, you know, that I had, Evel Knievel items, and he'd autograph them for me. And I wasn't even thinking of getting a good pick. I'd have pictured him and I, Evel, together, but I wasn't thinking to get a good picture of him and I together, you know, put on my, blow it up here in the museum. But, you know, of course, ZZ Top, you know, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, we got, met him, have a picture with him also on my wall in here. Years ago, when I was in the Marine Corps back in the 60s, down in the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, went way up the top of this. They called it Mountaintop Hotel. I think it was Bluebeard's Castle or something up there. Anyhow, we went in there to get a Coke, and because we were just hot and this and that and the other. So we went in to get a Coke, and we're sitting there looking at who in that over there. So I've got a picture in here of myself, Johnny Watson, which is a friend of mine that went to school together, and Nelson Baker from New York, I believe he was. And with Joe Lewis, a great fighter, Joe Lewis. Yeah, I shook hands with him. It's just like grabbing somebody's biceps. You know, his hand is so big. no wonder he knocked people out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. We are running to the end of our segment with you, and we just want to say thanks so much for coming on the show with us. And
we ain't even started.
I know, that's always so. I'm going to have Dave as someone we're going to call in the summer and get you back on again as you're in the thick of things and promote the Cossacks. And Dave, thanks so much for being on with us.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Not a problem at all, sir. Really enjoy talking to you guys and giving you the history of the team and you know, letting people get educated on it.
You bet. Yep. Well, thanks a lot, and folks, we'll have the show. Well, you'll be listening to it now, and just go to Seattle Cossacks. You can find them on Facebook and all that, and find out more about them for schedule. So we'll be right back with more of our show and our safety tip of the night and all that.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long and winding trail.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of the show. Make sure to visit our blog at worldofmotorcycling.com and check us out on Facebook, World of Motorcycling. Under at Facebook, use a contact form to send us your email or just send it to contactus@worldmotorcycling.com. We want to hear some trivia question answers because we put out that trivia question and we want to hear some people send us some answers. So please do that. And this time we usually start out with our safety tip, and John is away. It's his annual once a month safety technician.
Yeah, they have to have a meeting.
They have a meeting. It's every Wednesday. Third Wednesday of the month, and he meets, so we can't have him on. But I thought I'd give a quick little tip, and it's this. I don't know about you guys and gals and where you live, but here's a rule that will often save your life. When the light turns green, start counting and look left and look right. Give yourself about 2 seconds before you head out, because in our neck of the woods, there's a good possibility someone's running a red light, and just as you were going to head off, you would have been broadsided. So that's my tip, is don't start out on a green light unless there's no one around, but left, right, and then move out.
Yep.
That'll save your butt
and
every time.
And if you get a yellow light, be very conservative. If you can stop, stop.
Yes.
Because there's probably some guy sitting there waiting for that light to change, and as soon as he sees the yellow boy, he's going to make that turn because he doesn't see the motorcycle.
And it's usually the turn.
That's right.
It's not the straight. It's usually a turn
That's
in.
That's right. And so you want to stop on a yellow if you can. Now,
yes.
Once again, it's harder to stop a motorcycle on a yellow than it is a car. But don't just blast on through.
No.
Because if that guy makes that turn, you are going to end up biting the side of his car. So.
Well, and speaking of out and about, we're going to enter into our things of seen out on the road. Walt, it's been beautiful. What are you seeing out there lately?
Well, once again, strangely enough, this is a thing that I'm known for hammering on. There's a bunch of guys out there. They've gotten out now that it's nice, and they've decided that they want to play Speed Racer. And so it's like zing, 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 back and forth and changing lanes and super fast. And I'm sorry, it's 50 miles an hour on 99, and I was doing 45, and they passed me like I was sitting still.
Oh.
But, you know, we call them squids, super quick until I die.
And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what they're riding either, because sometimes these guys can be riding any kind
of
machine.
But there's a lot of them that have got these low and fast, you
bikes.
Know, racing-looking bikes that they think they're racing with or whatever. And they may be. They may have guys doing racing, you know. But the whole point is, don't be doing that, okay?
No.
Because you don't know when somebody's going to not see you. You don't know when he's going to suddenly change lanes, and you're going to end up right in his tailpipe or who knows what, okay? And they're quiet.
Right.
Now, a lot of people argue with me. I say loud pipe saves lives. I know. I've seen guys almost get run off the road as I'm going down the way, and as soon as I got behind him, it all stopped. Because you can hear me in six states.
Now, it reminds me, though, of that one video that you see on YouTube, and you look at that bike, and you know he has loud pipes.
Yep.
And he's cruising down, and a car doesn't even see him there, and he goes to get in the lane, and the guy, instead of backing off like a smart person, he kicks the side of the car, and it goes wibble, wobble, and next thing you know, he's in the middle of the road, and he nails an SUV. The SUV's tumbling right and left, all, you know,
yep.
flipping over and rolling over in the middle of the highway, and I'm thinking, if the guy with that bike had just pulled back,
right.
dropped back on the throttle, the guy would have swerved in, yep. honked, of course, honk, and let him know.
Yep.
The guy was probably not even paying attention, so
Well, and loud horns save lives,
I was
going
to say loud horns probably save more lives, and you need to get one, Walt. You used to have a real loud one.
Well, the new Harley's got pretty good ones and so on like that, but they've got actually ones that are louder than the one I had before. But I'm just not into playing with electronics, and so if I got it, I'd have to try to get the guys down at the shop to
Or put you
it
could
in.
Bring it here, and maybe one of us could help you out.
Yeah.
Well, I came across a very the big thing with I'll tell you what, there are so many racing events going on, you can't even keep track of them. It
yep.
Is just amazing. So I'm not going to do that. Usually John likes to cover MotoGP and a couple others. There's just so many of them. But I did come across this Polaris's first quarter sales report. Now this is the first quarter. But today, the report, first quarter 2018 sales of $1,297,000,000, up 12% from $1,154,000,000 for the first quarter in 2017. And then Harley-Davidson's first quarter net income was $174.8 million on the consolidated revenue of $1.54 billion versus net income of $186 million on consolidated of $1.5 billion last year. So they're down 12%. Polaris is up 12%, but as I was talking to Walt in between the show, you can no longer compare, and you should never compare Polaris with Harley-Davidson. They are two
right.
stone different manufacturers. Polaris, if you're going to compare them to Yamaha, because Yamaha has all the platforms that Polaris does, motorcycles, side-by-sides, off-road,
yep.
snow, watercraft, you name it, they've got it. Now you got to compare oranges to oranges. Harley, they're 100% motorcycle-centric. If you're going to compare to Triumph, compare to Ducati. That's who you do, or BMW. But don't compare, and even BMW, by the way, they are part of an automotive company like Honda, automotive and motorcycles. But Polaris needs to be compared one and only to Yamaha. So it would be interesting to see what the numbers are for Yamaha and for Polaris, because Polaris started back in the 50s.
Right.
I think Yamaha started kind of back in the 50s when they started producing their motorcycles and stuff. So compare those. Yeah, you could say Indian numbers are up, but again,
they're not even close to the numbers that Harley
well,
has.
Well, of course, and they never will be. Mark my words, they never will be, because they are a boutique brand, and that's fine. We have nothing against Indian.
Right.
We have nothing against Harley. I'm just saying, when you look at these facts and figures, Harley is just they went up a little bit on the international sector, but they were down in the United States. We keep hammering it, but the economy is not doing as well as everybody says it is. And especially if you live in the Northwest, it's booming. It's a gold mine. It's a gold rush, although you have to be at a certain age, because Walt knows this. He's highly skilled, but he will not be hired on because he's past that prime, quote, quote, age of being able to run 60, 70 hours, which is what the big tech companies here want you to do. On the flip side, in middle America, the jobs have not returned, and you're just not going to see the amount of bikes sold. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at this, you're comparing notes. And speaking of Ducati, this year's World Ducati Week is being held in Misano Adriatico, a small beachside community in the province of Rimini, Italia. It's in Italy. And it's located next to the Marino World Circuit, which is an Italian racetrack. And I'm telling you, Walt, if I had the money and the time, I'd love to go to that, because it's 3 days of beautiful, sunny beaches and riding around on Ducatis. That would be fun. It's like the Sturges for Italian motorcycle.
Well, there's our music. We'll be back in just a moment with our final segment and our
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of our show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. And so I've been trying to keep up with them nationwide and so on. The next one is going to be May 3rd through the 5th, Why We Ride to the Quail. And then on the 6th is the Quail, which is beautiful bikes and a lot of fun. On May 11th through 20th is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach Bike Week, and they're swearing this is going to be the best ever yet. Then we also have Street Vibrations on June 1st to 3rd, and Laconia Motorcycle Week on June 9th to 17th. The new one I got was August 29th through September 2nd. That's Labor Day weekend, is the Harley-Davidson 115th anniversary celebration in Milwaukee. And if you go to www.harley-davidson.com, they will give you information on that one. And also, don't forget, Dragon's Last Ride, the 22nd of May, is the fundraiser. And the, 14th of July is the actual Dragon's Last Ride. It's here in Linwood at Emerald City Harley-Davidson.
Well, what I also, the Ducati World Gathering is going on. What they've also done is they've got an app. It's called the World Ducati app, and you can go to their website and find out more about it. But it actually gives you a whole list of everything you can do, all the events, the rundown. And I thought, that is something every major event should have, is an app. And maybe they do have them. I don't know. I've not seen them out there. But you can imagine a Sturgis app or a Black Hills Rally app or a Laconia app or a Street Vibration app.
The 115th anniversary, they're on the website. They have, it's almost like an app. But it's everything you can do.
I know, but you would it would be nice to have. Well,
something you could put on your on your phone
and
or
carry
something.
It around. You're going, okay, now what's next? Oh, I got to get over here. Instead of going through your book or whatever and trying to figure out. Because that's usually what I do, is I end up running out of time before I get to do all the things I want to see. Yeah,
they may have that, but I think the Harley-Davidson website is, they've also, if you come in on a phone or an Android device, it's optimized for that.
Oh, then you could just go ahead and do that.
And then you could just go ahead and do that, and it'd be right there.
Well, I have a trivia question. It is this, and this is a really, really, really simple one. Which famous actor drove a motorcycle over a German prison camp in a movie?
The wall of a German prison camp.
A fence in a 1960s movie. And I won't even say the movie because this is such a simple one.
That's right.
Is it Steve McQueen, James Dean, Marlon Brando, or Charles Laughton?
What kind of a motorcycle was it?
Yes, and what kind of motorcycle was it? So anyways, if you know that, contact us at worldofmotorcycling.com or just go on to our Facebook, worldofmotorcycling.com, and put it on there and just say, hey, here's a trivia question. And that's such a simple one. And Walt, we got a couple more days of sunny weather. Actually, tomorrow night it's supposed to start changing over. So I got to mow the lawn tomorrow night.
And I got to go ride.
Yep.
So that wraps it up for the week. Make sure to share us with your friends and let us know how we're doing. I'm Walt.
I'm Steve.
Remember, wherever you happen to be looking is where you'll happen to find yourself riding. So look where you want to go. Stay safe and we'll see you.